Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. I am so, so happy for you to be here tonight because I have an awesome guest with me. And I have been so excited to talk to her. She's part of a couple of fandoms that I'm really interested in, things that I like to follow along with. So, you know, let's jump right into this and let me introduce the guest for this evening, Lindsay Russo. How are you?
Hi, guys, and thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. How 2021? Better than last year so far?
You know, it is too early to form an opinion. It's been a chaotic, what day is this? The 7th? It's been a chaotic week. Well, why? A lot of things have happened. So I'm refraining from passing judgment on the entire year based on what's happened in the past 7 days.
That's solid. That's a good way to go about this, I think.
Yeah.
Nice. So, you know, without kind of further ado, let's just roll into it. And basically, one of the main points of you being here is you are a prolific actor, actress, mm-hmm. whichever pronoun you would like to go with. I am just humbled at all the work that you have done.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean.
I've done some stuff.
aspiring myself, you're one of the people to look up to. You're one of the people to shoot for. It's awesome to me. So let's start talking about some of that a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
That's a very big question. So I've always been a performer. I started in music when I was like, I think I started the piano when I was 5, singing, theater. I had my first stage production when I was in elementary school. Bob McGrath, the former host of Sesame Street, came to the town I was in and did this live show and cast all of the local kids to be in it. So that was my first, you know, live performance. And I did dance. And then, you know, as school started up and, you know, middle school, it's like every theatrical production, every orchestra, every band, every choir, marching band, you know, I did all of it. That just has just been a part of my life. But I also, you know, did academics. So I went to college. I continued to do music and theater in college, but I majored in sociology and anthropology. Mm-hmm. Took a brief detour, ended up in the army, spent a year in Iraq, came back, didn't really know what to do with my life. So I was accepted to UC Berkeley and I got my master's degree in journalism. I worked as an investigative reporter. I worked for PBS Frontline, ABC News, and then kind of just decided I'd had enough and realized the only time I was really happy was when I was performing. So I made the decision to quit journalism and went back to theater. And I did that for about 6 years in the San Francisco Bay Area before I discovered the wonderful world of voiceover and decided that is what I wanted to be doing. And so transitioned into that. You know, I do some on-camera work as well, but really, really found my passion in voiceover. And just every year has been better than the last, and made the move to LA almost 5 years ago now. So yeah, you know, it's been a journey. It's been a struggle, but I love every minute of it.
That's so cool. That's one heck of a journey. You kind of did quite the walkabout.
Yeah. You know, I never take the direct route to anything. Apparently I've always got to do the circuitous route.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to see the scenery and stop and smell the roses, I guess.
Right.
Well, kind of talking about your voiceover work a little bit, you know, everybody can see your background there. That's kind of one of the fandoms that we were going to talk about, you being here. That one right there. Oh man, you are the voice of Alita One. How awesome is that?
It's pretty awesome. I won't lie. I'm a lifelong geek. I have my own fandoms, and so I understand what fandom means to people. And you know, I wasn't like a Transformer fan growing up. Like I had Transformers, but I wasn't big into the lore like I was with some other fandoms. But I absolutely understood the importance and just what it meant to be stepping into this universe, you know, that means so much to so many people. And I fell in love with this character. Oh my gosh, I fell in love with her so hard. You know, the writing that they did for her in the show was just amazing. And then, you know, obviously went and looked at like the comics, because she doesn't have a huge presence in any of the digital or streaming media to an extent that, you know, some of the other characters do. But she does have some pretty good storylines within the comics. And so just learning more about this character, I loved her and definitely found a part of myself in her and could really relate to a lot of you know, her personality and her experiences and character traits. And so for this to be like my first really big role, I couldn't have asked for a better character to bring to life than Alita One.
That's awesome. And you know, that's what I was going to ask, is if you kind of find a little bit of yourself in the character, but you already nailed that. So
yes, I do.
What is her character like? How is she in the show?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming if you're watching this interview, you've seen the show. If you have not, what's wrong with you? Right. It's only 6 episodes. Well, now it's 12. It's 2 feature films, people. You can see it. No. I have to say, I love what they have done with this trilogy, with the War for Cybertron trilogy, starting with Siege and now with Earthrise. Of that they took Transformers to a place where I thought it always really should have been, which is that darker, grittier feel to it. Because, you know, we're first introduced to these characters in season one in the middle of a war. And they're still, like, you know, Optimus is still not the leader that so many people know him as nowadays, you know, based on the movie franchises and everything. He's still learning how to be a leader. He's still learning the ropes. He makes bad decisions. And for me, Alita One is the character that is there to kind of, you know, be his sounding board, to keep him on track, to question him. And as we've seen in life, the universe these days, the past 4 years, the past 2 months, the past week, you need someone to do that. You need to have that person who will stand there and be like, is this the right thing to do? And he doesn't always listen to her. And when he doesn't, she's usually right. Hey, look, this was a trap. I told you it was a trap. Guess what? It was a trap. For me, I know a lot of people like to say, oh, she's Prime's love interest. I'm like, well, that's really minimalizing who she is. You know, she is a leader in her own right. She is a warrior in her own right. You know, she went from being a manual laborer to being one of the leaders of the resistance. And we really get to see that come to fruition in season 2 in Earthrise, when it's like, Prime's gone. It's up to her to lead what's left of the Autobots to, you know, to defend themselves and to help, you know, protect and liberate Cybertron. And that's something that she doesn't even second guess. She steps right into that and has no problem. And, you know, at the end, and that was one of my favorite scenes, was the end of season 1, when Prime is like, oh, you're not coming with me? And she's like, no, someone's got to stay here and defend our people. And to me, that moment really encapsulated who Alita One is. She is the person, or the Autobot, who is willing to lay her life on the line to protect those around her.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. That's if you could be any character, that'd be the one.
You know what? And I tell people that. I'm like, it's like they knew me. It's like she was made just no. But I totally agree. And like, I, you know, and I've told other people this, like, if that's the only character I ever play for the rest of my life, I'm okay with that, because she means that much to me. And I say that, you know, because I am a combat veteran. I have been to war. I know what it's like. And so, you know, making those parallels and seeing, and, you know, and obviously so much credit goes to the writers and to the creators of, you know, War for Cybertron for giving us this great story, these great characters, really fleshing them out. And, you know, giving Alita the story arc, which we hadn't seen previously, just really, really made me happy. And I, and obviously made a lot of the fans happy, you know, because people have been reaching out to me on social media and they're like, this is the Alita one we've always wanted to see. And that just makes me happy because it's like, okay, cool. We finally did right by the fans, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why it's a fandom, you know, you're doing it for the fans. So that's perfect. That's so perfect.
Exactly.
And yeah, you've done so many other things. Speaking of fandoms, like you did some World of Warcraft stuff.
Yeah, I've done, you know, video games is kind of it's the reason I got into voiceover and it's still my passion. You know, I was in some play, I don't even know what play it was, and was playing through Mass Effect as Femme Shepard, which is the only way you should play Mass Effect. Just gonna put that out there. There is no other Shepard except Femme Shepard. No, but I was playing through and, you know, of course I knew what voiceover was. I played video games, but Jennifer Hale's performance in Mass Effect just blew me away. And I realized, you know what, that is what I want to be doing with my life. And for me, I've always loved the storytelling that is available in video games. You know, you've got these massive universes. There's so many stories you can tell, so many characters. I tend to gravitate more towards kind of the more grounded and gritty type of roles as well, which is what Alita 1 was, you know, is. So yeah, you know, and I just love being able to jump into these universes that, you know, bring so many people joy, whether it's World of Warcraft or Fallout or Elder Scrolls, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. Cause you did, was it Fallout 76? You did some stuff for that as well.
Yeah. I was the female player in Fallout 76. So if you play as the woman, you can hear me breathing and jumping and running and swimming. And I do a bunch of other ancillary characters in Fallout 76. It's this really creepy DMV PA announcer. So if you find yourself in the DMV and you hear someone shouting out numbers, that's me. Yeah. And then, you know, like Wasteland 3 was kind of, you know, similar Fallout-y type feel to it. So yeah, I mean, and obviously as a combat veteran, there are roles that I just, you know, either I gravitate to them or people are just like, oh, the combat chick could do it. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you need someone to scream and die? Sure, I could do that. So you know, I do end up in those types of roles pretty frequently, but you know, a lot of obviously other wonderful characters as well.
Oh yeah. And I mean, the DMV is creepy enough on its own, let alone post-apocalyptic DMV.
Like exactly.
So that's crazy. And you know, I wish I had more time to talk to you. There's so much I want to cover. So let's keep this train a chugging.
Sure.
The next thing I want to talk to you about actually kind of involves, and this is something that maybe I might be a little privy to that others don't from conversations mm-hmm. we've had before, but it involves the veterans and something else that you do being a geek. And I know you kind of, I'm not sure the exact details and I don't want to take the words out of your mouth on this. So I'm going to let you explain how you relate D&D with veterans.
That's a big question. Do you have something specific? Are you talking about Fabled 42?
Fabled 42,
okay,
that's great. Right.
Okay, cool. I was like, there's a lot of things I could say about this right now. Yeah, so I'm one of the producers for the Fabled 42 Network. It is a, well, it's now much bigger than this. It started as a live streaming Dungeons & Dragons network with Homebrew Worlds. We've really blown up since COVID, you know, because we stream online and people wanted online content. So now we have a whole slew of you know, 5e based homebrew shows that we do. We also now have talk shows. I host a show on Wednesdays called The Rollout.
Yes.
And then all of our shows are then on YouTube as well. So if you're bored, and they're also in podcast form. So you can check all of those out. But we are a veteran-founded network. Chris Solo, who founded Fable 42, was an Army-Navy veteran. And then I came on board, obviously, Army combat veteran. And we do have several other veterans within our network. We've partnered with the Wounded Warrior Project. So we do charity streams for them quite frequently. You know, one of the things that we've talked about internally, but also now Chris is actually working for Wounded Warrior Project, DMing games for veterans. And we actually did a show about this for Gen Con a couple months ago with the folks from Game to Grow, which is an organization founded that uses tabletop gaming to help people recovering from PTSD and other types of mental disorders that they're struggling with, depression, things like that, anxiety. And so it's been really interesting to think about the fact that tabletop gaming and role-playing games can be a method for healing for a lot of people who have suffered, not just veterans, but a lot of people who have suffered trauma in their lives or are dealing with issues, because it is a safe space where people can interact with each other. They can role play through scenarios that maybe they wouldn't otherwise want to talk about. It's been a really great experience. And I love D&D, and that's also helped keep me sane during all of the quarantine going on. It's like, yes, it's Monday, I've got Legends of Shaugal, or, you know, it's Sunday, I've got Adventures in Middle Earth, or it's my talk show, you know, or all of these one shots that we're always doing. Whereas previously people are like, wait, you sit around and play a game for 4 hours every week? What? And now everyone's like, oh man, I got nothing to do. Let's sit around and watch you play a game for 4 hours. So it's interesting how people have, you know, their views have changed, but it's a great community of people. You know, the other thing I love about, especially Fabled 42, but tabletop gaming, but especially 42, is we are such an inclusive community. Everybody has a seat at the table, metaphorically speaking, at our network. It's like, from all walks of life, bring it. You know, we just, and that was really important to us, all of us producers at the network, is like, we want to make sure that everybody feels included here, no matter who you are, what you believe, any of that. And we truly try to represent that in our community, in our Discord, and also in the games that we present for people. Because, you know, a lot of us remember what it was like to be ashamed of being a geek, or be, you know, made fun of for being a geek. You know, as a woman, like, you know, I remember, you know, I was always very much the stubborn one, but it's like, you know, a lot of us know what it's like to feel excluded and to feel like we don't belong somewhere. And so I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of strides made over the years with geekdom. And that's one of my big things, like with Transformers, is people are like, oh, that's a boy's show, that's a boy's toy. And I'm like, no, it's not. And the fact that we now have characters like Alita One and you know, Chromia and RC, it's like, no. There are some amazing female, you know, characters in the Transformers world. Maybe they don't get as much, you know, screen time as the guys, or they're not as flashy as the guys, but they are there. It's really important for me that, you know, girls and, you know, female identifying women have someone that they can look forward to and they can get excited about. And you know what? And boys as well. You know, I don't believe in gendered stereotypes. I don't believe there is girl fandom and boy fandom and girl toys and boy toys. Like, I think we just need to tell good stories with good characters. But that also means we need to see ourselves represented in those stories. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's 100% accurate. That's why I binge watch She-Ra.
Yes.
Such a good show. So that's amazing. Everything that you've got going on with Fable 42, I know you play some of the games. Do you have a particular character that you might like over the other ones? Or do you kind of like them all equally?
I mean, I definitely love all my characters. I'm also that person who, well, for persisting campaigns, like I spend a lot of time on these backstories, so much time on my backstories, and my name and everything. I like all my characters. The very first character I played for Fabled 42 in a show that's no longer, it's ended. She was this homebrew race ranger, and she'd spent most of her life in the woods and never really talked to other people. And so her social skills are horrible. And at one point she ends up literally freeing all these dinosaurs and like starting a revolution. It was amazing. But my current character, my Monday game, I really love her too. She has a very deep backstory, which is, you know, going to come out over time. And that's one of the things I love about, you know, D&D is it lets you, you know, really flex that creativity, which we all love. And especially as performers, as creatives, it's like, you know, I don't get to do amazing things every single day. It's like, yes, you know, I get these Alita One roles, which I love and I cling to, but like, that's not what I'm doing every day. You know, my day to day, it's like, I'm doing all these other things as well. It's like, I'm doing voice recordings for, you know, help desk. Like if you call Disney Plus right now, you can hear my voice talking you through the help desk. You know, I
does,
do dubbing.
Does that make
I
you
do...
a Disney princess? Are you?
I don't know. It's like, if you go to Whole Foods, you can hear me on the voice, you know, the intercom. So it's like, you know, to be able to have outlets for creativity, you know, that's just fun for me. And, you know, and I do love writing. And so really being able to create these types of characters that I want to be and I want to play is just really exciting and fun for me.
Yeah, you get to be kind of your own writer, director, producer.
Exactly. And, you know, play with other people because it's, you know, it's a synergy. You're working with a team and it's interacting and it's playing, it's being creative. So, yeah.
Yes. And that's the great part. You kind of touched on it earlier and it just keeps getting brought up is, you know, games like tabletop games in general are just wonderful outlets.
Yeah.
You can get anything out there and you can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I don't understand why people play humans.
I don't think I've ever played a human.
We're humans every day.
I mean, granted, it's, you know, different types of humans, but yeah. I mean, no, I take that back. I just, in a home game that I'm playing, I am playing a human, but it's like, it's a League of Legends world. And so she is human, but like, she's also got like all these mech things. And so
okay.
She's a human plus.
Human plus. I like that. That's a good
I mean, I guess they call it's like human variant. I never got what that is. I'm like, we have human and human variant. Like, could we not come up with something else to say?
Yeah, like we could have taken that so many different directions. So as things kind of wind down a little bit here and we get towards the end of the show, I have a very important question to ask you. This is okay. Kind of like super deep, super important, and I really want to know the answer to this.
Okay.
It's a would you rather question.
Okay.
It's in regards to, you know, think of how this would affect your acting career.
Oh God. Okay. This sounds stressful and
oh yes.
Deep. Okay, hit me. I can't would promise you... that I can answer, but
would you rather not be able to see anymore or not be able to hear anymore?
I'm going to go see.
Okay.
Well, you know, okay. So let me have a follow-up. Am I not able to hear anymore and I'm not able to do anything? Like I couldn't get like cochlear implants or anything, like just like can't hear, period.
Right. Yeah. Nope. Just that's it. Psh, can't hear.
I'm going to go with can't be able to see anymore then. Because I've been a musician my whole life and there's actually a couple, they've now passed, voice actors who were pretty big in the business and, you know, there's stories of them who, as they got later in their career, were no longer able to see anymore. And people would come and read the scripts to them and they would still perform. Oh. Okay. Yeah, but that's a tough one because I also like love martial arts and fighting. So I imagine like if I couldn't see anymore, I'd just have to like train really hard and go the daredevil route.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. I mean, it worked out well for Daredevil, so why not? Now, you have other little things that you do. You know, you've got like your show tune. What is it, Show Tune Sunday? Or
I need to do one this Saturday because I missed last week because of the new year. You know, I just like I like just to do fun things to keep people entertained. And it's really important for me to be supportive of other people and to lift up other people. And even if that's in my daily life, if it's just like calling a friend to make sure they're okay, or just doing something that makes people smile, you know, like that just, I don't know, it's important to me because there's just so much negativity in this world and it's really easy to get beat down. And, you know, I have a lot of friends and obviously there's lots of people who are really struggling right now. And so I just thought, you know, things like that, maybe it'll make one person smile. Maybe people just think I'm an idiot. It's fine either way, you know, so.
Well, that's fair. I definitely think you are highly entertaining. And I think everybody who sees any of your shows or antics would think the same
thing.
Well,
feel free to follow me on Instagram or Twitter. And you can see my
antics. That's exactly it.
I'm taking song requests, you know, should you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that leads into the final segment here, which is shameless self-promotion. You can let everybody know all those different little things and what to type so that
sure.
they can get to them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as long as you spell my name right, I'm the only Lindsay Russo out there, so I'm pretty easy to find. But yeah, no, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Obviously, you can find me on Fabled 42 Monday, Wednesdays, every other Sunday. Check out our website for the schedule of events. You can find all of our videos on YouTube. So if you want to see all the cool episodes of the rollout that we've done, or you can always check out the Fabled 42 YouTube channel. I can't talk about anything that I have coming up because everything in my life is NDA. But obviously, yes. If you have not seen Transformers, seasons 1 and 2 are available on Netflix. Transformers War for Cybertron, Siege, and Earthrise. I believe they've announced when season 3 is coming out, but I don't want to say it just in case they didn't officially announce it and I just heard it. But season 3 will be coming out eventually. And you can get an Alita 1 action figure. It's a Walmart exclusive, so check out Walmart for that girl. Which is really fun. They were sold out for a really long time, but those are now back in. Yeah, and you know, if anyone has questions or thoughts, or feel free to tweet at me. I try to be really good about responding to people. If I don't see your message right away, I'm sorry. But seriously though, I you know, if you do want to reach out to me or you have questions or anything like that, I'm always here to respond to people. Hopefully I'll have more cool things to share in the future. But thanks. This was great. I had a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. It was absolutely amazing having you on. You're a wonderful guest, super funny, super entertaining. The theme of today. But you know, to everybody listening, remember, I always put links in the video description and in the podcast description for those of you that are listening on Anchor or whatever podcast site you might be listening on. So make sure to click those links and get over there and check out all this cool stuff. Yay. So, you know, thank you so much, Lindsay, for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's just... Oh. It's so refreshing to talk to somebody who's high energy. You know, you're not taking this stuff laying down. You know, COVID's still running around like crazy,
It is. And you know, we got to do. Yeah.
Exactly. We got to do it. And of course, thank you to all of my viewers and listeners who tuned in to check this out. Remember to leave comments, get over to those links, get to these sites, sign up, Twitter, follow, like, bell, all that good stuff. you gotta keep up with this stuff and keep yourself entertained, or else you will go stir crazy. I promise. So thank you all very much for listening and or watching, and we'll see you all next time. Bye.
Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.